Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? May 18th, 2014, an exciting weekend of Women's Gridiron internationally, as well as the U.S. and Canada. We got WWCFL action today and yesterday, as well as the LIBF in Mexico at the All-Star Game in Saltillo, Mexico. We also had a historic event in the IWFL as Lisa Horton of the Pittsburgh Passion, longtime, long-tenured legend, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Passion, 10,000 passing yards yesterday versus the Carolina Phoenix, 51-0 win. We want to give Lisa a shout-out and congratulations on a storied career in the women's gridiron game in the U.S. League, and she's played in both leagues, the Women's Football Alliance and the Independent Women's Football League, and as well as the other leagues before these two prominent leagues today. So shout-out to Lisa Horton. Congratulations. We ended up giving her a tribute up there on Instagram, on Pinterest, as well as on Twitter. We hope she checks that out, and we appreciate her efforts as a no-joke football baller out there in the women's game. The other notable thing in the WFA was the Chicago Force fall to the Boston Militia in the second game of the year, a rematch game, and the Militia take it 35-18. Congratulations to Adrian Smith out there and the rest of the girls in the Militia, as well as a hard-fought matchup for Brandi Hetcher and Jeanette Gray out in Chicago. So Chicago falls out of the undefeated ranks in the WFA, and the Militia improve another win and a big win against the Force. The other thing on the West Coast was the San Diego Surge, 7-0, the best team in the Women's Football Alliance to date in 2014, were facing the California War Angels, which were coming in at 4-0. Unfortunately, the Angels did not have enough to muster. The Surge, just enough firepower there. They're on a run to repeat into the national championship scene. They won the title in 2012. So everybody, welcome to Gridiron Beauties Blitz on Block Talk Radio, and as well, you can find us on ultimatesportstalk.com, along with the lovely Erica Lynn Anderson. Are you on, Erica?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
So, Erica, some real historic feats in the women's game, just I mentioned earlier. Lisa Horton is a quarterback, kind of like a Tom Brady-type quarterback, Peyton Manning. She's been in the women's game a long, long time, way back to the early 90s as well. 10,000 passing yards for this athlete. Yesterday, her team beat up the champion, the 2013 champion, for a second time in the year. It's a rematch game here, this time at home at the Carolina Phoenix, 51-0. So what do you think of that? 10,000 passing yards for a female quarterback, first female quarterback to do that as a record, as we've kept records.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Congratulations, Lisa. That's so cool. And to be able to do that at home, that's even cooler that she was able to set that record at home. And that is really cool to essentially be at the top of her field and to be doing, at her position. I bet she should be very proud of herself.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh has a very, very passionate fan base for the Passion. I mean, they're a well-known team. Franco Harris is a part owner of that team, so it's got NFL lineage ties to the Steelers. So they're really well-received, and it couldn't happen to a better
That's
person,
nice.
Especially in a in a football, you know, driven town like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to, that they're, you know, widely accepted. And I hope that when people see her out and about that they buy her dinner and congratulate her.
Cannot put it in words because, you know, we don't have the national coverage that we did. We ended up tweeting everybody that I could tweet yesterday, Fox Sports 1, ESPNW, ESPN, SportsCenter. I haven't heard back from any of them in terms of they're going to cover that as a sidebar or even just a footnote, and that would have been awesome to do. You know, even a 30-30 like on ESPN would be a great feature to do on her, especially for a long tenure career, especially in the women's game primarily. That doesn't get enough coverage as it is. But Lisa Horton, congratulations on the Pittsburgh Passion. The other notable games, we just started up in Canada, so I mentioned a couple things in Canada. The Saskatoon Valkyries are the three-time women's Western Women's Canadian Football League champions, and they opened up their season with a 49-7 win against the Regina Riot. And the other notable team is the Lethbridge Steel, which was in the finals last year. They're up 2-0 in that season. We go into the LIBF in Mexico. The Team Gold beats up on Team Diamond. So that was an event, an all-star fantasy event. Out in Italy, we kicked off the CIFAF, which is the Italian Championship Women's Gridiron League. And thanks to Nausicaa del Orto and Valeria Vismara for sending me the info. Fenice, former Furry League team, they're up 2-0 in the season, and they won yesterday 26-14. We will have all the scores and the tallies from all the women's leagues as our network sends us the information. It doesn't matter what time of the day you send it, we will get it. So it doesn't matter at this point. There's no limit on that. We'll also have the Sugar and Spice Football League results of this weekend, the Guam Women's Tackle Football League results, the Maritime Women's Football League results, and as well as the FXF out of Mexico, which will they're getting amazing coverage down in Mexico with broadcasting. The LIBF, you can get broadcasting as well. They're going to be on Terra.com and as well as AYM Sports. So exciting times in Mexico, a lot of interest in American women's football. And that's exciting times for everybody in the women's game because the more excitement and awareness, the opportunity is going to be there for obviously to build up on that and hopefully it becomes relevant enough. Just like on ESPN3, for example, you got softball and you got all the other ladies' sports, you know, women's soccer. So hopefully down the road here we can make an impact where some of those broadcasters will take note of it and maybe start broadcasting a game of the week just like they do with the softball games. So,
for sure.
Any news on Gridiron Girls that you need to let us know now? Anything exciting coming up?
You know, I am going to have my draft post, my sometimes mostly unpopular opinion on the draft. You'll be sure to get a laugh out of it, though. So I'm going to have that out in the next couple of days. So that's really what I have going on with Gridiron Girl. We're gearing up for, you know, OTAs and all that stuff for the pro game, and then we're gearing up for college football. We're all really excited.
Yeah, and what we need to do is build up with that. So week to week, we'll do the same concept we did with the pre-draft and then build up to the draft. So on the OTA, that's more like notable key things that are probably happening with certain teams. That'll keep us intact. We are going to go to the hour format. Starting on June 1st, we'll kick it off in an hour format, and that will help us a lot to cover the NFL more exclusively with a little more time and then bring in some folks as well like we did before here in the half-hour format. Let's talk LFL as we go into the No Joke Football Huddle with Pete Richmeyer, our LFL insider. We're going to talk LFL for the remainder of the time. A lot of changes in the LFL within the last couple weeks. There's a lot of things happening in the LFL in terms of the 2014 season. So let's bring on Pete Richmeyer of the Northwest Seattle area. Pete, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. kind of excited about some of the changes that are happening in the league, and then at the same time kind of disappointing in a lot of ways, right?
You know, the segue that you brought up to bring the LFL into your show is perfect, because one of the things that is tragic is the things that these athletes do on every level, whether it's 11-on-11 full pad or the arena level. These women, the effort they put in, and they have to fight for relevance. And to be completely blunt, I cannot think of any single person that is making women's football less relevant than the commissioner of the LFL, Mitchell S. Mortaza.
Yeah, Pete, and, you know, we just mentioned Lisa Horton, 10,000 passing yards in the women's game. We were trying to get her to at least get a side note or a sidebar note on SportsCenter and ESPN. But, you know, we were talking off air with Erica here, and the one key factor this year, it's five seasons into it, there's really no growth factor, because when you talk about 2009 to now, we have no Liz Gorman, we have no Ann Erler, we have no key notable names, we have no Christian Moore, we have no, you know what I mean? The faces of this league the last 4 years are no longer fan relevant, you know, relative. So the fans aren't coming out to the games because there's no star power. Is that maybe an issue with the attendance?
Well, absolutely it is. When you have teams, especially like Green Bay that you're talking about, where Ann Erler was, I mean, I hate to say it because there's other people on the team, but in essence, she was their team. She was their leading defensive player, and she accounted for 90% of the team's offense. And when she finally hung it up because she saw what was happening with the league, yeah, that's a huge blow. And then you look at the move from Green Bay to Milwaukee. Now you're going to a municipality that's much bigger, and the league's going to be even less relevant. So when ticket sales didn't hit the number they were supposed to, you know, you have the perfect opportunity to say, hey, Wisconsin basketball's in the Final Four. We're going to honor them by not playing. I mean, who does that, really? Football, the basketball, who does that? You know, if you have people that have purchased tickets, they're going to come out to that game. Because if they're looking for LFL football, they're going to come watch that and TiVo the Wisconsin game or whatever. And it just, the things that are being said by the league right now, that if you followed for the past two or three or five years or however long, you begin to see that the stuff that's coming out in the press releases and the words that are spoken by the league officials, they just don't make sense.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't build a fan base. I mean, you're in the Northwest primarily. The Miss have basically busted their humps to get 7,000 people into Showware, and they have a following because of the Seahawks, and you know, the community is a sports-driven, loving community. But when you got no other community, you got, like you said, you got a Green Bay in Milwaukee now, which is completely where you needed Ann Erler to begin with, because if you really needed it to fill, you would have kept her there for whatever reason, and I think that's a black eye to the league not to keep a player of that caliber. I mean, she was well-known enough to, you know, a Brett Farr-like in a way, where she's going to bring fans in just based on her name, like I said, because of her play on both sides of the ball, and then as well, her playing in Canada helped her internationally as well to be well-known up in Saskatchewan. So, I don't know, you know, Mitchell, it's his league, it's his doings, and however he needs to do it, but for me, it's year five. He needs to have a sales force in place. He really needs to have somebody else run this show. I mean, if he wants to earn his money like Donald Sterling, that's fine. He can do that. But put somebody in there that's going to elevate this brand to a state where the fans are going to reward the players in the end in terms of revenue and in terms of notoriety.
I'll be completely blunt with you, because that's simply not going to happen. Having worked with the league, covered the Seattle Mist as a writer, and actually worked with the league as game day operations, it's not going to happen. It's come right from Mortaza's mouth. He has no intentions of ever paying the players, you know, and he seems to think that he has this endless pool of players that will come on, be required to sell 20 tickets per game or be suspended for that game. He thinks that, you know, a player leaves today, she's gone tomorrow. How do you replace Nikki Johnson in Las Vegas? You know, Laurel Creel in Seattle, it came as a total shock to him that 80% of the Seattle team quit. 80%. They have like three or four veterans, and the rest were all new players. And then he comes on the YouTube game, which are taped after the fact, you know, they tape the game during the game, and then he goes on with Bobby Hucco, and they dub in a play-by-play after the fact, and he calls it the New Look Seattle with the improved quarterback, who had a 56% efficiency rating, by the way. And the guy's clueless and total disconnect with his teams, and he will never, ever pay them. As far as having someone come in for sales, it will not happen because no one other than him will know where the money comes in from and, most importantly, where the money goes out to. It simply will not happen. He will not allow that control anywhere else. He offers
and we talked about, Pete, we talked about in the past, and Erica's brought it up, it's an amateur league, but unfortunately, you know, if he was a pro status, he would have been either sued or they would have been unionized. So at this point, I know you came up with some sort of, you know, support website so you can let everybody know what's going on there. But are the players really inclined to shut this down, or is it just going to be a situation where they're just going to trickle out as they get heads up and go, okay, I don't want to be part of this anymore, and then all of a sudden there's another turntable of another player that comes in and just wonders, oh, I guess I can make it. And then so that's what he's counting on at this point. That's what we're looking at.
Absolutely. You know, he's talking about the reality TV show. He's dangling these carrots in front of the players because most of them are new. So he's able to say, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're 5 years in. We're growing exponentially. When in fact, they're losing teams in the U.S. They're contracting. They're deteriorating. But because the players are new, he can feed them the dream. And the website, by the way, is LFLAbusesAthletes.com. And stay up to date with what's happening there. And take it actually one further with you with what he's doing with the players. In California, I don't know if you're actually aware or not, you might be, but the San Diego Seduction had some players that realized, okay, yeah, we're employees of the league. They went to Department of Labor and Industries in California, filed a class action lawsuit because, A, they're told when they have to show up for practice, B, they're told when they have to show up for appearances, and it was determined that they were employees of the league. Mortaza settled that out of court and disbanded the San Diego Seduction. And they all had to sign non-disclosure agreements saying that, hey, they won't talk about how much they got and all that, something that he definitely does not want getting out to the players. And what he does is he tells them, in like the preseason text message you sent out to everybody, if you create unnecessary drama, if you talk anything about the league, your season comes to an immediate end. He doesn't want these players talking to each other. And he had a player in Seattle that tried to organize and talk to some players, got wind to him, and he shut that down right away. He does not want these players organizing. And if these players look into it, they realize they do have some rights. All they have to do is take the steps necessary to protect themselves.
So, Erica, you got any points?
I just can't believe that, you know, that, like I said off the air, that it's such a shame because, you know, the players are the ones that suffer, and they want to do, you know, they want to play this game. They just have such a passion for it, and they want to compete. And they're forced, if they want, you know, this is their choice. If they want to play, they have to put up with it. And for them to have to choose, essentially, between that is such a shame to me that this man should be ashamed of himself. I know I sound like a mother right now, but he really should be ashamed of himself. And I just cannot believe that somebody would conduct themselves in this way and conduct a business this way. It's horrible.
You hit it right on the head. He absolutely has them over a barrel. And last year before the Legends Cup, we were having the LFL Awards night in Las Vegas. And I was talking to a couple of the Las Vegas Sin players, and they were talking about they were upset with some of the safety equipment. They were upset with some of the requirements by the league. And I approached him with that and said, hey, you know, we have a situation with some Vegas players. They have some concerns they want to bring to you, you know, and I think it's serious enough to where if you don't talk to them, they're probably going to quit. And his direct quote was, where are they going to go? They say it every year. They'll be back. And he laughed when he said it. He really genuinely does not care what the players say because they don't have that option. If a player in Seattle wants to go play against a team in Chicago or they want to go play against a team in, you know, Las Vegas, despite the fact that these games are being canceled left and right for whatever excuse he's saying, if the players want to compete at that level, be it in front of 40 people in the stands or even in Seattle where they have less than a third full arena when you count out the blacked out seats. This is their only option. Mortaza knows that, and until another league steps up and has some credibility and acts like they're going to do something, he has the players over barrel.
You know, when we deal with the reality of the business, and I just want to take it into a non-bashing to the owner because we've bashed the owner along the lines already, but in a business format at this point, you know, you got the Bonique Axiolas. They get no press, no banners, nothing in Los Angeles, and you would think that she would be the staple base of that, you know, the franchise there. But on top of that, it's just a normal social media, Groupon, couponing. It's just the attitude. You got, Heather Furr, big-time Heather Furr. No money dished out there for, you know, for promotions and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a shame that you have these caliber of players with star power, NFL-like star power, because people are starting to notice them, and he's not able to even think about a sales force. They need a sales force. These women with the sales force, look what we talked about recently, Pete, in Mexico, the Liga Americana, the bikini football, the LIBF, already has 5 TV deals in place. They already have all-star fantasy, arrangements with certain cities that they're coming to on top of the regular season. So you can't tell me that this league in Mexico is more relevant and more wiser than this LFL. The bottom line is the LFL with its, you know, ownership and management is going to affect other leagues to get better at what the LFL has not been able to do. And in long term, if these leagues in Mexico get on television in terms of, you know, Univision or Telemundo, it's going to be lights out for the LFL in terms of coverage and notoriety because, I mean, the Hispanic fan base alone would blow out the numbers that he claimed on an international scope.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't be more correct in the fact that another league is more relevant, especially in North America, than the LFL. He should realize the threat that is, but unfortunately I think there's a lot of ego issues there that prevent him from doing that. Let me ask you a question. If you had a women's football league and you treated the players properly and you listened to their concerns and you gave them the proper equipment, you made sure they had insurance, and to be honest, you don't need to make the players millionaires. I don't think they even realistically expect they're going to get rich off of doing this, but you at least compensate them for their time and give them the support they need. And you had happy players that have been with the league 3, 4, 5 years and the level of football has reflected that time. Would you need a whole lot of additional advertising? The best advertising you could have would be your players. You don't have the players on Facebook now saying, hey, come on out to the games. This is what we're doing. Those players are gone. So he's going backwards, and he needs that, and he doesn't have it.
Pete, we talked about LIBF having a sales force in place. This league has been in place 2 years now. And in their second year, they already have a sales force in place for marketing and execution. Their players in Mexico, and we're talking the economies here. You got the U.S. economy and the Mexican economy, okay? And we always talk about how the Mexican economy is probably worse off than the U.S. economy, right? Well, the bottom line is, the players in Mexico are getting no different of a deal than the LFL gave the 2009 original players, which is, like, I believe, if you talk about American dollars, it's only $200 a game. So you're telling me that that's the compensation that the LIBF is able to do in Mexico, and this is where the LFL is not able to do in the States. So the promotion piece that you just talked about, the girls in Mexico are more inclined to do what you said, which is fanfare on social media, go out there to the venues and socialize and get charitable events going because of the fact that they're getting compensated for that little bit of time, and now they feel like they need to grow their brand. And that's the difference, I think, right now with the LFL is the ownership is not allowing the players, like you said, to participate and make this brand a great brand that would eventually elevate the sport to be well-known.
The LFL won't even let players make appearances in uniform where the players have the ability to receive compensation. He has that block, too. So from games right down to personal appearances, they can't do anything. And the LIBF, whether it's compensated $200, $400, or $50, that gives them some level of pride in their league and makes them want to go out and do that stuff. The players in the LFL, there's nothing to be proud of about the LFL. You know, they're not even YouTube famous because this league can't get their act enough well enough to get a game on YouTube on time.
And the only sensation, Pete, and you mentioned it already, Nikki Johnson's viral, and Nikki Johnson is no longer relevant in the LFL. It's pretty shameful, don't you think?
That's hugely shameful because anytime you lose a player, she was the Las Vegas Sin. Anytime you lose a player that's that vital to a team like Ann Erler in Green Bay, and heaven forbid if Heather Furr or Christelle Harris ever left Chicago, you know, it destroys a franchise. It sets that franchise back 2 or 3 years, and that's what happened in Las Vegas. That's what happened in their stands when you look and you see 50 people sitting up there watching a game. I mean, the average
intake would have been, you know, 3,000 would have been acceptable, but now you're getting into the lower hundreds, not even close to the thousands. So that's a downswing. So, Pete, before we're going to be running out of time here, but let the fans know where they can dive in. Let the players know, you know, where they can reach you if they want to do anything anonymous and to help the cause, so we can get this, you know, thing turned around and make sure that we put as much effort, like you said, to just make the awareness happen and know that these players are supported. Where can they reach you at?
Absolutely. LFL abusersathletes.com or 253-278-0035 is my number. I'll put it out there. I don't care who calls me about what. If you want to remain anonymous, you can. The time has come to hold Mokaza's feet to the fire and make him accountable for what he's doing to the players. This league is about the players, and it's time we stand up for the players, even if the players can't do it for themselves.
Exactly. And, Pete, where are they can reach you on Twitter? I know a lot of the players are on Twitter as well.
Absolutely. I'm SportsPete253.
All right, and we will link it up on our show format this week, and you'll have the link as well. So let's see what we can do. But, you know, there's things that can be done in a positive way, and there's things that other leagues overseas are now doing, Australia for being an example. I mean, they've got coverage out there. You've got the Italian leagues out there. There's a lot of leagues that are doing well, good things, as well as the U.S. leagues for women's game. So it's just unfortunate that this ownership in the LFL does not want to be the, you know, the leader of this drive. So we'll see if anybody else steps up at this point. But thanks, Pete, for your time. I really appreciate it. Safe travels up there. Continued success.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Pete, thank you. That was Pete Richmeyer, our LFL insider. And as you can tell, Erica, he's not happy. We're not happy. It's just a bad situation. It's a shameful issue. You know, the owner really needs to realize that he needs to change his ways, period. These players deserve better. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was thinking, too? Like, you know, when you hear about things like this or even something like, you know, you hear about, like, there was that whole thing with SeaWorld. I know this sounds weird, but, like, people stopped going to SeaWorld when they heard that SeaWorld was abusing animals, right? That there were all those issues. Well, when people are hearing that this man is abusing his power, essentially, as the head of this league, why would they want to give this man money? I don't want to give him my money. You know, if this is how he treats people, you know, why would you support him, you know?
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. And unfortunately, attendance is now, you know, the attendance at these games is really starting to affect that because people are starting to realize that it's not as good as people thought it was. And since, like I said, the star powers are gone, the fans can kind of like, you know, scratch their heads and go, why am I going to pay for something that I don't even know about anymore and a player that I'm not really, you know, devoted to supporting. And that's the bottom line right there, is that he's basically dug his own hole, because if he would have kept well-known stars and gave some sort of arrangement to work with that, this league 5 years later would have been well-known, maybe a WNBA-style league where it's treading into a positive state where it's an awareness, a positive factor, but it's not. So,
yeah.
Erica, it's been a fast 30 minutes as usual. So we will get all the scores up for all the women's Gridiron League this week as they come in through our network. Check out Erica at gridirongirls.org, as well as at PatsFangirl12 for all the latest information on college football, as well as NFL. And you can catch us on ultimatesportstalk.com on our podcast, where you can also get WWE, as well as all the traditional major sports updates on there. So for Erica Lee-Anson, Oscar Lopez, we will see you here next week for another edition of the Gridiron Blitz, right here on Blog Talk Radio and on ultimatesportstalk.com. Have a great Sunday, everybody. Safe travels.
Bye, everybody.